Hoshomedi.
Hoshomedi. Try it with me again. Hoshomedi. It's the only way I can learn is to do things over and over. Hoshomedi. The word is welcome. How nice will it be for a family to hear in their own language a bunch of very strange people saying in their native language, or trying their best to say in their native language, Hoshomedi, right? As we prepare to welcome the family into the Parish Life Center, they arrive on Tuesday morning, 11:30, not to here, but to some location near BWI. As they arrive in our community, I'm reminded of what was in Mary's hands in our text today. Martha was doing a lot of cooking. We always talk about Mary and Martha, and one's in the kitchen, and one's with Jesus. Martha's cooking, Lazarus is at table, and Mary is maybe thinking, what have I got to give? My sister knows how to do all that stuff with the food. My brother is at table with Jesus. My brother is at table with Jesus. My brother is at table with my brother who died is now alive and sitting at the table with Jesus. Maybe it occurs to her in that moment, the oil I had to bury my brother with, that fragrant spikenard oil that is so costly and valuable, the most precious thing I have, I didn't use it because Jesus raised him from the dead. And my brother is at table with Jesus. I will take this precious ointment and I will do what a servant does. I will give Jesus a luxurious foot bath after all of his travels, arriving here before the Passover. Can you imagine? She had that costly ointment to anoint her brother, and Jesus raised her brother from the dead, and she didn't need it anymore. Well, then what do you do with it? She lavished it on the feet of Jesus. It's a nice image for St. Paul's Poplar Springs in Mount Airy, Maryland. You have this beautiful home on the property of St. Paul's, a lovely three-bedroom house, and you were kind of done with it, ready to let it go, sell it. It was a lot. And at some level, you were willing to sacrifice more energy, pour yourselves into it, crack it open, and see what God would do with it next. And you cut off those blinds that made it dark, and you repaired the back deck, and you emptied its basement and bedrooms, and you allowed contractors to come in and do flooring and the bathroom, and you trusted in God's people and one another so that this wonderful resource could give life and celebrate life and really be a way of lavishing love on the feet of those who we will welcome from Afghanistan, right here to this property. I think we can relate to Mary this morning, offering something precious and valuable to someone who has traveled a long, long way and needs rest and refreshment and refuge. I thought of you all over and over again when I was doing my EFM reading a few weeks ago. This is a book written by Stephanie Spellers. She is an Episcopal priest on the staff of the presiding bishop. Stephanie is wise and joy-filled and a delightful, delightful priest. And she wrote this book in the midst of the COVID pandemic. It's called The Church Cracked Open. The first chapter starts off talking about how we all knew that things were changing culturally, that people did not go to church in the same ways as they did in the 1950s, that the numbers were shifting. We knew that. And then this pandemic hit. And then we were looking at our buildings and wondering, we can't even go in our buildings now. How do we worship using technology? And congregations, I don't know about yours here during the pandemic, but congregations that were not outfitted with this kind of equipment to be so high tech suddenly figured it out because you had to, right? You had to figure it out. Look at you. You've got a ring light, microphones, somebody operating a computer, a mic. Very fancy technology now. And on top of that, there was this election and political divide that was really simmering and sometimes having outbursts in our society, in this country, in the midst of the pandemic. There were these difficulties, these protests, these challenges. There were things on the news that scared us on all sides. There's more than two sides of every issue. But in all the different ways we interpret what was going on, so many of us were afraid or confused. So Stephanie took all of that, went away for a while, and wrote this book. And she opens the book with the story we have just heard, although she uses Mark's version. I want to share with you her writing quite directly. The woman who broke the alabaster jar. Casting about, searching for God's leading, my eye kept landing on one biblical image as I searched for a metaphor during the pandemic. A brazen woman with an alabaster jar full of costly scented spikenard in her hands. The story shows up in all four Gospels, but God kept drawing me to Mark's simple, action-packed account. While Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper in that version, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on Jesus. Like most commentators and preachers, I thought I knew the story. Here was a woman who loved Jesus and sacrificed something precious in order to witness to that love. The disciples stormed and complained at her for wasting the oil and at Jesus for allowing her to approach in the first place. I've always been fond of Jesus in this story. Not only did he refuse to shun her, he got sassy with them and suggested they should be more like her. In Mark's version of the story, he says, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her. The more I dwelled with the story, the more shocking it appeared. Can you imagine the scandal? In Mark's version, the woman isn't named. It's even more scandalous. Can you imagine as this woman walks into a dinner gathering of men hosted by a Pharisee? This woman carries a precious alabaster-tiled jar of perfume worth a year's wages. That's a lot of money in that jar. She's the essence of disruption, hijacking their senses of sight, smell, taste, and decency. Does she offer the jar to the host or to Jesus? Maybe pour some nard into her hand and gently anoint Jesus? Nope. She breaks the alabaster jar. In a culture where women are seen but not heard and have so little public agency, she walks in uninvited and breaks that jar. The crack and crash must have felt like lightning and thunder. That's okay. She has every intention of profoundly disrupting and decentering the proceedings. So she takes something precious and she breaks it open. Then she pours it onto Jesus. It flows until it drenches him. Our sister has no interest in a stingy drip drip from the jar's small opening. She wants that healing to flow onto Jesus like a river. So she cracks it open. While everyone else freaks out, Jesus receives her offering and thanks her, honors her. What did Jesus notice and admire so much in her? He didn't see it as waste. He understood that she was literally giving up the best of what she had, the alabaster jar and the ointment, because he mattered that much to her. He was the only one, the center of her world, and she had reoriented her life around him as her focus. In the week ahead, this congregation, which has cracked open a great gift and offered it to refugees, this congregation will be changed by that relationship. We are saying to Jesus, every time we say Hashomeri to this family and others, we are saying Hashomeri, welcome to Jesus. Every time we do something sacrificial out of love for anyone in this congregation and anyone outside of this congregation, we are cracking our own resources open so that they can be offered more freely to God. The sound of that jar cracking open must have been frightening to those who heard it, don't you think? The sound of a glass breaking in a restaurant, the whole restaurant gets quiet, doesn't it? Goes, oh, and then somebody might clap from the kitchen, or somebody says, it's okay, and then we all go back to our conversation. So notice if you hear something breaking open, a little disruption here and there, and welcome the cracks, welcome the noise and disruption, welcome the change, welcome the reordering and recentering of our lives on one another and Christ. When I first saw the cross that is now hanging in the parish house that Ginny made through some artistic magic, I have no idea how you put that together. I saw a mosaic made of cracked shards. From a few feet away, it reminds me of folks who take, and with that kind of artistic mastery, take broken bits of things and refashion them together into the shape of something new and beautiful. And those shards from something cracked and broken have been reshaped into the cross for us to gaze upon and consider as a symbol of our own lives, broken open, a little sharp over here, a little worn down over there, and reassembled into the shape of the cross, into that shape that reminds us to love extravagantly, as the woman loved Jesus, as Jesus loves us.
Amen. Amen.